Hello and welcome back to Bible Focus. This is our second session in our series titled The Church Is. Now, if you went out onto the streets and you asked someone, what is the church? I imagine many people would say a building. But the Bible talks about the church in a very different light. The church is not a human construct. It's not a nice idea. It's God's design. It's God's idea. And so what we want to do is look at different passages in the Bible that describe the church so we can get a full understanding of what the church is and how we're called to function. So in our first session yesterday, we established the baseline truth that the church is not a building, that it's a people, and it's a people who relate to one another. And today we're going to look at one of the most common analogies used for the church, and that is the body. But before we talk about the body specifically, we have to start by looking at the head, because you cannot separate the head from the body. When Paul uses this analogy, he joins the two together. Let me look at some scriptures and then I'll explain what I mean by this. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 to 23, it says, "He exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above all rule, all authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God has placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, it says, "Instead, speaking truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. For him, the whole body is joined together by every supporting ligament, and it grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything that he might have the supremacy." In Colossians chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body is supported and held together by its ligaments, and it grows as God causes it to grow." So as you can see, we cannot talk about the body without talking about the head. That they are connected to one another. They have different roles. They have different functions. Christ is the head. We are the body. But ultimately, they are connected to one another. So in order for us to understand how the body is to function, we first must understand how the head functions. So what we see from these passages that we've just read is that Christ is the final authority. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, it helps us see that God's intention is that Christ would have supremacy. So in calling Christ the head, Paul is helping us see that Christ has the authority over the church. That he supersedes any human pastor, priest, elder, membership voting, council, whatever it may be. That he is the one who leads the church. It is his. That he has supremacy. He has the final authority over all things, especially the church as its head. Secondly, we see that Christ being the head means that he is the source of everything that the church needs. The head is the central part of the body. If we look at it from a human perspective, the head acts as the central control system of the body. The head controls the automatic acts such as breathing and heart rate. The head helps manage walking, balance, coordination. The head translates signals from your eyes, ears, skin, nose, mouth. The head allows for logic, speech, learning, and planning. The head processes feelings like joy, fear, sadness. The head stores everything you learn and experience over time. The head is vital for the rest of the body to function. You can function without arms and legs. You can function without some organs. Science is so good that they can even replace your heart. But science cannot replace your head. The head is the epicenter of everything that the body wants to do. So without the head, the body has no way of processing anything. And so it is with Christ as our head. He's not just in charge. He's the source of everything that we need. Everything we, the church, the people of God need, comes from him. So if you take him out the equation, we're dead. We're lifeless. We have no way of processing anything. We have no way of actually producing anything. He is the head. He is the source of everything that we need. Finally, because he is the head, there is accountability. And this is very important because we're all going to face judgment based on what we've done. And elders or pastors, whatever language you want to put on them, are going to face a harsher judgment. Those who teach will face a harsher judgment. No one is immune. No one's left out. Everyone is accountable to him because he is the head. This is why when a pastor or a leader abuses their authority, we can process it, we can talk about it, we can learn from it, but really, most of the time, I just ignore it. They will have to give an account to the head, and that pastor and that leader is not the head honcho. They are not the final authority. Christ is. There is accountability. He is the head. He is the one that's in charge. Now, I understand that this is just merely scratching the surface, that there is so much more that we could say. This is just simply a taster because we don't have much time together. But let's move on to start to look at the body. Now, there's no need to go really deep into how the body is meant to function in relation to the head, because ultimately, everything we have comes from him. So when we understand that Christ is the final authority, all that means for us is that we are to listen to what he says and do what he tells us. With Christ being the source of all things, it means for us as the body, we are to remain in him and allow him to be the one that to feed us and sustain us. So when you understand what it means that Christ is the head, all you have to do is a little bit of reverse engineering and you can see how we, the body, are meant to function. So instead, let's consider how the body is meant to look. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentile, slave or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. And even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." So what it helps us see is that the body is not all the same. The finger is different to the toe is different to the bladder is different to the shoulder is different to the knee, but it all makes up one body. And so it is the same for us, the church, that we all have different roles, we all have different functions, we all have different personalities, but ultimately together we form one body. That means that individualism is good. The church should be diverse. We're not called to all be robots doing the same thing, functioning in the same way. Your role, your personality, your talents, whatever it is, it's important. If you look at Revelation chapter 7 in verse 9 and 10, it says, "After this I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" This picture that we get of heaven, John can actually identify the individualism in each person. He can identify people from different nations, different tribes, speaking different languages. And we know that we are called as a people to bring the realities of heaven down here to earth. So if something's present in heaven, it should be present here on earth. That's what Jesus was teaching us when he said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So this picture that we get in heaven should be seen and realized on the earth, that the church, the people of God collectively, should be from every tribe, every nation, every language, all coming together praising the same one God. So we are one body, we are one people, but even in heaven, we still hold on to the things that make us unique, and that should be reflected here on earth. That's why racism has no place in the body of Christ. That's why misogyny has no place in the body of Christ, whatever else it may be. That ultimately God has ordained things in such a way that we would be one in him, one people, one body, but we would all play different roles. We would all have different functions. We would all come with our different personalities, and collectively together, we will praise him and come into everything that he intends for us. And so ultimately, Christ is the head. He is the source of all authority, all power, all life that the church needs. We cannot separate the body from the head. We need him. But he's ordained things in such a way that the body is not made up of robots. It's not made up of everyone playing the same role, doing the same part, having the same personality. That individualism is good. And when each part of the body plays its role, the body grows and builds up into everything that he intends. Well, thanks very much for joining me here today on Bible Focus. Join me tomorrow as we start to look at the bride of Christ. So have a good day, and I'll see you in the next one.